Shalom. We're in Ein Aya, Seif Vav of the second chapter of Rav Kook's commentary on the Agadata, on the stories of Masechet Shabbat. And the Gemara reads as follows. Last two shiurim, we learned about that the Hanukkah candles can use the different wicks and oils. Even if they're not kosher for Shabbos candles, you can use them for Hanukkah candles, even if they don't absorb, and they're not absorbed so well. The Gemara, we're on page 60, at the top. Amru Rabbanan Kameda de Abaye Mishmed Rabbi Rabbi Yirmiyah. My time de Rav. Why does Rav say that they're kosher for Hanukkah candles and not for Nerot Shabbat? Kasavar Chibta in Zakukla. Because we hold la halacha that Nerot Chanukah, even if they go out, you don't have to relight them. Which means that even if we use those flickering wicks or flickering oil that doesn't hold so well, it's still kosher, because even if worse comes to worse, it goes out, according to Rav Yirmiyah, then it's still okay. So that's how he explains why it's kosher for Hanukkah candles. Amru Rabbanan Kameh De'Abaye. The rabbis mentioned this reason to Abaye, Mishmei de Rabbi Yirmiyah, in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, v'lo kibla, and he didn't accept it. Said, that's not the reason, or maybe he's not sure that's the reason. Kiyata Ravin amru rabbanan kamei de Abaye, Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan v'kibla. But afterwards, when Ravin came, and the rabbis said the exact same thing to Abaye, to the same rabbi, but in the name of Rabbi Yochanan and not in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, he did accept it. Now, we could go, and I imagine some commentaries go into the difference between Rabbi Yochanan, who was one of the most accepted Amoraim. The halach is, most of the Talmud Yerushalmi, half of the Talmud Yerushalmi, is machlokot between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, where the halacha is always like Rabbi Yochanan. As opposed to Rabbi Yirmiyah, who, if you remember, he was thrown out of the Beit Midrash, and he obviously wasn't of the same stature as Rabbi Yochanan.
He was also Rabin as an authorized transmitter as well.
Okay. Amar Abaye, Izakai gamirta lishmaita mi'ikara. If I were Zoche, if I merited, I would have accepted this explanation the first time I heard it. Chaval, it's a shame that I didn't accept it the first time. Ask the Gemara, Vaha Gamra. All right, in the end, he learned it. What's the difference whether he learned it in the end? You know, all's well that ends well. If he learned it in the end, what's the difference whether he learned it now or a little before? Nafkamine legirsa diyankuta. The difference is that what you learn at a young age. Now, usually the common explanation of girsa diyankuta, we'll see the Rav Kook goes in a different direction. Girsa diyankuta usually means that that which you learn at a young age, you remember better. And even non-religious Israelis use that term, girsa diyankuta, that which I learned when I was young, you always remember.
Well,
Rashi explains, Izakai, ilu hayiti zoche lelamda, if I would have merited to learn it the first time and to accept it the first time, hayiti gorsa kishishmati arishona. What's the difference? Girsa diyankuta, mitkayem yoter mishel zikna. That's how Rashi explains. That what you learn at a young age stays with you your whole life.
Not only memory, but internalizing.
Okay, all right, you could say internalizing. Rav Kook doesn't go in that direction either. Rashi talks about the memory. And Rav Kook says as follows.
Mitayim, that could mean that both, really.
Kol ha-yediot v'chol ha-tziyurim shel ha-adam hem mitkabtzim kulam bekinus klali bitchunat ha-nefesh lif'ol al ha-adam et pu'ulatam. A person is made up of all of the pieces of knowledge, all of the pictures that come into it, that make up our personalities throughout our life, at the different stages of life. And it's interesting, Rav Kook talks about the yediot, right? All the time you're learning new things. And also the tziurim, learning new pictures, imaginations, ideas, feelings. Mitkabtzim kulam, all of these ideas and feelings and experiences gathered together, bikinus klali, bitchunata nefesh, lifol ala adam et pu'latam. Together, they activate a person. That's who a person is. For many years, for 20 years, I taught every year a class in the Mechlala in Mesilat Yesharim, in the, what's it called in English?
Path of the Just.
Path of the Just, of Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, the classic book of Musar. And we used to do a lot of exercises to make the Musar practical, to make the ethics practical. And one of the exercises that I like to do, and mamash connected with this, is something that usually we don't have time to do in a regular day. I once saw this exercise. I never did it till one day I was sick and I stayed home, and I couldn't concentrate on learning. So I said to myself, this is a good day to try to add this exercise. Take a piece of paper and divide it up year by year. What do I remember from nursery? What do I remember kindergarten? What do I remember from first grade, second grade? Well, it's good you do it by grades rather than by the age, because grades, you remember, maybe you remember, who was your first grade teacher? Mrs. Torani. Oh, what do I remember from that year? Second grade, I had Mrs. Bartenstein, and third grade, I had different grades. And we know that the famous, it's also a tradition, but also in the famous book, Life After Life, supposedly was empirically proven that a person, when he dies, right before he dies, his life flashes in front of him. And those are like the highlights of your life. Now, what are my life's highlights? In other words, what is going to flash before me before I die? It's very easy to put together. Pashut again. Right out. What do I remember from first grade? What do I remember from... Oh. My fourth grade teacher, she kicked me out of the room. Right? And that embarrassed me very much. And in fifth grade, I had a teacher who taught me a Gemara for the first time. And the first time I opened up the Gemara, I was at his house for Shabbat. He was learning with his son. And I remembered, I got totally lost. And I started crying. It's one of the only things I remember from fifth grade. And just taking on sixth grade.
Whoa.
Ninth grade, I remember... One of my memories from ninth grade is my Gemara Rebbe, Swami Rav Moshe Chaim Soseski. We were playing basketball during lunch break, and I made a nice shot from the left side of the key, and he said, "Great shot." That small compliment is one of the few things that I remember from ninth grade. And what's good about this exercise, I'm just, throwing out examples, as they come in, is that you see what are the small things that influenced me, and if somebody giving me a small compliment on something as minor as making a nice shot during recess, if that's something that stays with me 30 years later, then maybe I could give some more compliments to more people, and apparently those small things are very mashmauti. Also, if I want to know who I am in terms of self-recognition, self muda'ut atzmi, how do you call that? Muda'ut atzmi, self-awareness. To know who I am, to see what are the things that are important to me. Okay? And that's what Rav Kook is saying. What a person remembers, also the knowledge, also the experiences, what do you remember from your parents, from your grandparents, from this uncle, from that uncle, that is what makes you up. Alken, hayediyah ve'alimud shel advarim atovim, shel divrei Torah u'kedusha, right? The knowledge and the learning of good things, learning Torah, learning holiness, po'alim letova ala adam, they activate a person, they build a person, lo rak lefi erkama prati, not just because, oh, I added another piece of knowledge, oh, another chapter, another daf gemara, kin lefi oto ha'erech, Shehim poalim betzirufam, vekinusam, liten tzura atzmit al mahuto shel ha'adam. As the famous saying goes, 1 + 1 is not just 2. Another piece of knowledge, when it merges and harmonizes, and like chemistry, it can activate a totally new mixture, right? This is what makes up a person. And that's why every piece of knowledge, every experience, Freud talks a lot about your background and your parents, your father, your mother, your kindergarten teacher, or what's called, the psychologists call, nurture, right? That is a very important part of our makeup, right? Obviously, all this together is just part of the bechira chofshit, of the free will that we have. There's also genetics, there's nature, nurture, your free will. It's a very complex puzzle. But regarding, we're talking, our topic tonight is education. What you learn at a young age, what you learn at an old age, and Rav Kook is obviously going into the direction that it's all important. That what you learn at a young age is important, and also later. Va'asitem otam, right? And that's what he stresses in the previous sentence, tsura atzmit. Atzmit means me. Who am I? These are important things, different things that I got from different places. So, on the pasuk that we say in Kriyat Shema, these are that uritem otam v'zchartem et kol mitzvot Hashem va'asitem otam. You shall see the tzitzit. Remember all the mitzvot that Hashem gave you, and do them. But the chtiv doesn't say otam with a vav; it says atem without a vav. Right? We read it vasitem otam, but it's written vasitem atem. And Rav Kook explains this beautifully. This is what we're talking about. Those mitzvot, every Dvar Torah that you ever heard, every Hasidic story that you ever heard, every secular, every bedtime story that you ever heard, all of that together makes you, that makes you. Vasitem atem. Shekol ha'osek b'Torah lishma ma'ale alav ha'katuv ki'ilu asa at atzmo. And here Rav Kook is referring most particularly to our topic in the Gemara, learning Torah. In addition to all the experiences and stories, etc., etc., everything that you learn in the Beit Midrash and in school, that's who you are. And that's how he explains the Gemara. Whoever learns Torah Lishma, it's as if he made himself. Now, Rav Kook in Sefer Ma'amarei Re'iyah has a couple of articles on education. One of them we learned in depth, if some of you remember, 2 or 3 years ago. I think it's even on the internet already. Yeah, you saw it?
Yeah,
Is it divide? Is it one or two?
Two or maybe even three.
Oh, yeah? Okay. So it's very mumlatz, very suggested to see that, because it's mamash connected with what we're wearing, recommended. But aside from that, there's in Ma'amarei Re'iyah on page 33, these are, it's not from the White Shas, it's a Likut, a compilation of different articles that Rav Kook wrote in different periodicals, compiled by Rav Elisha Aviner. Rav Kook makes an interesting question: what is the difference between brainwashing and education? Very basic question, especially when you have children. You know, to what extent am I brainwashing them? You know, brainwashing, some people will say, well, really, it's the same thing, but one is a nicer term, right? Others will say, well, there's a fine line. Rav Kook explains, Halo enenu makirim et hachinuch betor bore dvarim chadashim benishmat hamitchanech. Education is not creating new ideas, bringing outside ideas into the child. That's not education. That's brainwashing. Ki im betor mefakeach umotzi min ha'elem el galui min hakoach el hapoal, to develop his potential, help the child realize his potential, that which he has inside. There's the idea of chanoch lena'ar al pi darko. If a child has a natural netiya, a natural leaning towards art or music or a gemara be'iyun or bekiyut or tanach or whatever, help him find his letter in the Torah. Say in Chassidut, every person has his letter of the Torah. Maybe we mentioned before, Yisrael is the Rashi Tevot, the abbreviation Yesh Shishim Ribo Otiot La Torah. Yisrael, there are 600,000 letters in the Torah, and each person has his letter. Each Nishama, 600,000 Nishama Tana Yisrael, has his letter in the Torah.
The Ten Chelkenu B'Torah.
Right? Every person, Ten Chelkenu B'Torah Techa. Or the Gemara also talks about, what does it say in Tehillim? U'B'Torato Yegeh Yomam V'Layla, the Gemara Masechet Kiddushin, that a person, he has his own Torah. Right? Two people can learn the same pasuk, shivim panim leTorah, and come and understand it totally different ways, and they might both be totally legitimate. Okay? So Rav Kook is also the idea of individual education. It is very popular in the open school of having a child choose, giving him as many options as possible to have him choose that which he wants. Or in the Midrashot where I teach, I was talking with my daughter on Motzei Shabbat. She was surprised that in every time slot there's an average of 5 different choices, options of what to choose from. Or high schools, right? We have 3 daughters in high school. Each of them chose a different high school, right? Because one of them was fit for Ma'ale Levona, a more Hasidic Karlbach style. The second, Tal Ra'aya, totally different approach. Ofra, totally different approach. And it's important to find the glove that fits the child. Otherwise, you might be brainwashing them and they might rebel. Because what happens if you try and artificially fit somebody into a mold that's not them? It doesn't feel real. And again, brainwashing, that's the best way to get them to rebel. Help them find their letter in the Torah. The same thing with yeshivot hasder. It's really one of the fantastic things today in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe that's one of the reasons why Eretz Yisrael is so small. That wherever, if you go to, someone's living in Cleveland, there's a choice of 2 high schools. Chicago, 2 high schools. Los Angeles, 2 high schools. Florida, 2, maybe 3. I remember one time I was giving a class on this, and the girls from New Jersey said, "Oh, but what about New Jersey?" So I said, "Okay, let's count them." Came up with 7. And almost all of them are more or less the same. Catered for the stronger students, and you know, there are smaller differences. But the beauty of having 100 ulpanot or 100 yeshivot tichoniot in Israel is that you can have one which is geared for this and one which is geared for that, and one which specializes in this and one which specializes in that, and everyone can find the yeshiva which is best for them. And that way it's more education. Same thing with mitzvot, by the way. There is a minimal obligation regarding many mitzvot. But on the other hand, that which you want to do more, extra credit. Do you want to devote 60% of your time to learning and 5% to chesed and 2% to this and 2% to that, or change the percentages? It's 100% legitimate. And that is the beauty of the living Torah, that it's real. It's individual. And this is part of the Likut HaNitzotzot. We also spoke about this, I think, last year, where Rav Kook writes, and in the generation of Geula, part of the idea of Kibbutz Galiot is that today you have so many different ways of serving Hashem, and all of them are legitimate. So that it used to be that if a person lived in Lubavitch, and that was Avodat Hashem for you, take it or leave it. So some took it and some left it. But today, if you go to Tzfat, and you go walk down the main street to the old city, you can hear 10 different types of tefillah, and find that which is fitting for you. Ashkenazic, or Sephardic, or Hasidic, or Karlbach, or Yemenite, or this, or Yeshivish, or Yeshivat Bnei Akiva, or so many different types. So that your Avodat Hashem can be individual, not artificial, and not brainwashed. Okay? So that is what Rav Kook is saying here, Vasitem Atem. That's what makes you up. Now getting specifically to our topic, youth, the period of your childhood, comes before your adulthood. Tzarich lahavina lo betor chizyon over sheino mashir acharav me'uma. It's not just a pipe that you travel through that doesn't leave its mark. It's not just a means to achieve an end. As if a person theoretically could have been born at the age of 30, 40, or 50 and skipped the stage of childhood. Rav Kook is going to say, no. There's a certain understanding of things at different ages. You can have the same idea, hear it at the age of 10, then hear it at the age of 15, hear it a third time at the age of 20, and again at the age of 30, and every time. I'm sure it's happened to everyone here. You hear the same idea, And then all of a sudden, oh, nafala asimon, right? It registers. And you hear it again a couple years later, oh, now it really registered, right? Lo chena davar, ela hazikna hishleima az rak kesheba acharei hayaldut. Adulthood is just complete only after the stage of childhood. Childhood is not a preparation for adulthood. But if you remember, and we're not going to go through the Ma'amar, what we saw in Ma'amarei Ra'iyah about childhood and education, anybody wants to see it, page 229 through 231 in Ma'amarei Ra'iyah, just an example of what we saw then. We see the picture of how they used to dress children in England, I don't know, 100 years ago, 200 years ago. They're clearly dressing the children as
little adults,
right? As if childhood, and this is the Western world, when you tell somebody he's childish, is definitely not a compliment, right? And Rav Kook comes out very strongly against that. He says childhood, that's when a person's neshama is freshest from the oven. He's most godly. He's less adulterated. Right? That's the idea of adulterated, right? Where you're in your most godly state. Children are enthusiastic, and they're spiritual, and they're honest, and a lot of good traits that we spoke about then. Idealistic is the most outstanding trait of the young. And Rav Kook is saying is that is an important part of life. It's not a preparation for life. Life is not from 18 on, and it's not from 30 and on. Life at the age of 5 is at least as important, and as he writes there, even more important, because that's the base. It's even more important than adulthood, right? If somebody has a big, strong, wide base, on that you can build a large building. Somebody who had a difficult childhood or not wasn't educated properly, doesn't have good habits, it's like build like this, and it's not going to stand very strong. And
conversely, when some child dies at a young age, when you go to comfort them, you can say that the days of that child's life were just as significant as any other days of life.
That's an important point, right? Yoshua points out that Chas v'Shalom, a person passes away at a young age, one of the points of comforting him is this idea, right? It's not that he didn't achieve, it's not that he didn't live, his life was very important, very significant. Childhood is not just a preparation. And that's, you notice Rav Kook is not going in the direction of Girsa D'Ankut of Rashi. Childhood is not just amass knowledge. It's not just because your memory is good at that age. But that is an important stage in unto itself.
I think you can read Rashi Rav Kook's way also. It's pretty open. Rashi is usually pretty open.
Okay, that's the way Rashi is usually explained. Lo chen adavar, ela hazikna hi shleima az rak sheba acharei hayaldut. Az notenet hayaldut kocha ha'er, v'hachai, the excitement, the enthusiasm, the life, has influence ala zikna hamiyushevet v'abochenet. What is the advantage of adulthood? It's more miyushav, it's more level-headed, settled, analyzing, right? Youth have a tendency of seeing things black and white, right? They're very idealistic, but sometimes they do shtuyot. Look at Yigal Amir, right? Very idealistic. He had his head in the right place, his heart was in the right place, but he did a really terrible thing. The alpishtehen yimaleit sivyon ha'adam haraui. A proper person is somebody who has also learned in his childhood and also learns in his adulthood, because it's two different types of Torah, which both are necessary. It's interesting, the term, Rav Kook talks about the youth as er v'chai. These are terms that he himself uses. Rav Neria brings this regarding the young people in the city of Boisk, where Rav Kook is writing this. In the city of Boisk, there were, and this was in several places in Europe, there were shuls, minyanim, and youth groups called Tiferes Bachurim. It's still to this day you have in shuls in America called Tiferes Bachurim. I remember one in Williamsburg where the average age was 70. But when they started, they were probably, you know,
like young Israel.
Right, like young Israel.
Yeah, yeah.
He had a group of some very young, strong, open-minded, super idealistic students. One of his was his brother, Rav Shaul Chanakuk, who turned out to be a great scholar in Tanakh. Another was Rav Moshe Zeidel, who used to head the Tanakh department in Yeshiva University, and some of the best Igrot letters of Rav Kook are questions that he asked. A third was Rav Binyan Menashe Levin, Dr. Levin, who wrote the Otsara Geonim, and they were called the Rav's boys, Rav Kook's boys. And not only were they his bodyguards and they were his chassidim, wherever he went, they followed him.
And this was already in boys?
Right. They had chugim, where they would give shiurim, they had a choir. It's very, you know, today these things sound, you know, classic. And every young Israel or Jewish center, you have these things. But at the time, it was considered a very novel idea. And Rav Kook encouraged it very much. This idea of the mixing of the advantage of the young and the old together, Rav Kook writes very nicely in a letter, Igeret Tafshin Nun Gimel, that's 753. He writes about, here, if anybody wants to see some copies of this. It's a source 3 over here. You see, on the seventh line of source 3, he talks about Yaldut, Haval She'in Bacheti, Ben Keshuetzel Yeladim Beshanim, Ben Keshuetzel Abba'im Beshanim, Hayodim Lishmor Etal Yaldutam. The ideal is somebody who gets on in years, adds the wisdom, the level-headedness, the experience, sometimes it's money and means to implement the idealism which he hasn't lost. But you need that youthful idealism. Kigamul alei imo, kigamul alei nafshi. Famous pasuk in Tehillim, where Rav Kook is mechadesh, it doesn't say a child by his mother. It says like a child. Because what does it mean, like a child? Childhood or youth, youthful idealism, isn't something which is measured by your age. Usually it's found in youth, but there are also 80-year-olds. Anybody who knows Rav Chaim Drukman, in case you haven't noticed, he's 80 years old. And he's just as young and youthful and idealistic as he was 50, 60 years ago. And that's why he's so inspiring to young people.
Well, it's not only idealistic, it's also freshness of viewpoint, ability to look at things from a new angle. That I think,
objectivity, willing to try and change, not to be mikuba, not to be stagnant, to be object, to want to change the world. Basically.
A lifetime of being able to grow all your life.
Yeah. And in source 4, where I brought from Orot HaKodesh, Chelek Gimel, page 361. Rav Kook talks about what Yemot HaMashiach is about. A similar idea. Ruach HaNe'urim HaSo'er, the stormy spirit of the youth, HaMitorer Bo'ozu B'Gvura, together with Im Ruach HaZikna Mesudar. Together with, we need both. We need the young and the old. We need the older people who have Mishnah Stura, they have their thoughts collected, organized. HaMalei Kovid Rosh, seriousness, Uzehirut, carefulness. That's another problem that youth have tend to. They tend to be a little reckless, you know, taking chances. Yachad mitagdim la'aguda lifol pulatam b'chaim. And this is classic Rav Kook, which we've seen many times. Rav Neria once summarized the teachings of Rav Kook. If you remember, the Nazir, we mentioned many times, summarized the teaching of Rav Kook is ha'achdut ha'kolelet. Right? The unity which includes all of the individual ideas. Rav Neria words it a little different. He calls it Ichud HaHafachim, uniting the opposites. And this is the Kabbalistic idea where the world is made up of right and left, of Chesed and Gvura, kindness and strength, male and female, plus and minus. And all these things, they're not opposites because they were both created by the same God. And they're meant to harmonize each other. what Hegel called, Rav Kook also refers to this, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. Okay? The same thing regarding youth. There's a beauty in youth. And this is a very non-Western approach. If you remember Rav Kook and Mamare Uriyama, what we learned is he discusses that how does Western society base their view of childhood as a means, as a preparation for adulthood? Says, well, it's based on two ways of measuring a person. If primitive man measured a person by the size of his muscles, childhood, they don't have big muscles. Also, women are second class. Men are first class. Children are third class. Okay? In the Western world, where a person is based on his kavod, his job, his money, still men are first class, women are second class, children, third class. Right? How much money can you make delivering newspapers or babysitting?
Well, but look at how people treat kids today. People treat kids.
Anyway, the Judaism measures a person by a totally different measuring stick. How godly are you? And accordingly, that's what Rav Kook says there in Mamare Riyah, says children are the most godly because they're the most fresh. They're unadulterated. Okay, so we're not talking about a preparation for life. This is no less important part of life.
How does it fit in with what we say that a kid doesn't get his yetzer tov until bar mitzvah?
Yeah, there are different aspects of it, right? Yetzer lev ha'adam ram min urav. There are those that explain that it's from the age of zero. There are those that say that it's at the age of 13. And for those who say that it comes in at the age of 13, that means that beforehand it was just good.
Right?
Why is that good? In there, it's talking about the Yetzer. It says the Yetzer Hara comes in at the age of 13.
So other way around.
No, it says there are different explanations. Yetzer Lev Hadam Ram Min Ne'urav. Some explain it from the year zero, Mizman Shenin Ar Mirechamimo. Others explain it from, that's the pshat, from the time that he's a Nar at the age of 13. But beforehand, he has Davka Yetzer Atov. Darshanut, you have to be very careful because you might have heard one drasha. Don't be fixated.
But in
Chinuch,
practically, it's a lot. There's a lot of things that are easier to do with kids before they reach the age of adolescence,
right.
And before they start giving you a lot of flack. You know, you get some things in before you get some assistance.
But also regarding the point of the Yetzer Hara, even according to when it comes in 13, Zelu Matzeh Asai Elokim, the stronger your Yetzer Hara is, also the stronger Yetzer HaTov is. Anybody who's worked with teenagers know that they're not good or bad. They're super good or super bad. Super good or super problematic. And those same hormones that can give you problems, they can also be that drive to get the best out of you, to be super idealistic and super enthusiastic, right? And to ask good questions. And there's no such thing. The basic answer to your question is, there's no such thing as Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Ra. To simplify it, we use those terms. It's really the same idea. But the question is what to do with it, right? And what to do with that power. Anyway, continues Rav Kook in Orot HaKodesh. Both of them have to work together, to speed up the redemption, as the basis for the Mashiach, for the flower of Mashiach, which is called Semach, the plant to grow. Arichat ner leben Yishai Mashiach Hashem. The Mashiach is called Ben Yishai, Ruach HaPenu, Asher bo yavo elenu shnehem yachad, Eliyahu Anavi, im Mashiach Ben David. Ben Yishai, Ben David, that's the Gingy, that's the redhead, that's the fiery King David, together with Eliyahu HaNavi, who is ancient, who never
died.
He's also
fiery. He's
3,000 years old. Both of them have both sides to them also. Okay, but Rav Kook is showing how the two are meant to harmonize together, and that's the ideal. Okay. Veshiv levavot habanim. Okay. ממילא מובן שכמו שבכללות האדם שהוא נמלא מסכום הכללי של דעותיו, ידיעותיו, נטיותיו ולימודיו, just like a person is made up of everything, all the experiences and learning, etc., etc., from his youth, from his middle age, from his old age, יש השלמה של פעולה במה שהילדות משפעת על הזקנה, that it influences your adulthood. כן בכל לימוד פרטי, every single idea, אותה התקבלות ואותה הצטיירות שילדות מציירת את הדבר הבא לנפשה, אינה זקנה יכולה לצייר. There are many ideas that you can only really understand when you're younger. חזל stress, שיר השירים, משלי, קהלת, they were all written by the same Shlomo HaMelech. But at different stages of life, you see God, truth, religion, Torah, as different things. Al ken im haya oto alimud nilmad bimei hayaldut, the very same thing that Ma'amar, that Abaye says, oh, it's a shame that I didn't learn it when I was younger, haya oto tziur yalduti mitztaref el alimud, that would have been an important contribution that he is now missing. I, the Gemara asked, but you learned it later, what's the difference?
The Gemara but he heard answers, it. He heard it first and didn't accept it.
It is different. ואחר כך כשבימי הזקנה הדעה מיושבת חוזרת עליו מועיל אותו הלימוד הפרטי להצטרף אל הסכום השלם של תכונות הנפש המלאות שני הצביונים של הילדות ושל הזקנה. Again, the duality which Rav Kook says that makes up the world, right? The left and the right, the male and the female, the chesed and gvura, the plus and the minus, and the youth and the
I think he's talking about the nature of youth to be independent and not to accept things, and to be when you're young, somebody says something, and something, and it could be really, really wise, and he'll say, "Ah, no, you're full of it. It's not. It's nonsense." And then when you're older, you're able to think about it more. And wait a minute, let's give this a second thought, a third thought. And that was what he felt was lacking in his youth, that he wasn't able to deal with that more deeply when he was young.
Maybe. Okay. Or Davka, at that point, we spoke about them when we learned about Ma'amar Ri'iyah. There are a lot of different aspects of the way you see things when you're young and the way you see things when you're older.
Because both
are necessary.
Because he really did hear it when he was young. He just didn't learn it in depth because right. he wasn't up for it then.
He wasn't open to it.
Yeah.
That's a problem right. that youth have. Aval davar shekvar hayom ba'uilo la'adam la'sigo bimei hayaldut. Like Yoshua was saying, that very often young people, they think they know it all, and therefore they're not willing to listen to ideas which really could contribute to them where they're at now. So even if they do accept it at a later age, they're missing the youthful aspect of that idea. אבל דבר שכבר היה ראוי לו לאדם להשיגו בימי הילדות, והתאחר עד ימי הזקנה, הנה תמלא נפשו רק בציור של זקנה מצד אותו הדבר הפרטי, שהוא חלק מעצמותו של האדם בזקנה שאין עמה ילדות.
A person who just learns when he's older, for example, a Baal Tshuva, with all due respect,
there are certain things which are missing. Not just bekiyut, that you remember things, but it's different. He's missing out. It's not his fault. And when he gets to Olam Haba, obviously it's not going to be held against him. Nevertheless, you can't say he's not missing something out.
But that's also a direction of how to compensate for it. In other words, to try... When you learn something the first time, even when you're older, you have to make the effort to try to learn it like a kid.
Right? That's an important point. Right? If you're just learning when you're older, you have to make a concentrated effort to learn it as if you were younger. Also. Al ken, yesh hefsed bavarat girsa diyankuta levada hefsed apashut shel koach hazikaron hachazak bimei hayaldut. Rav Kook is saying, I know the classic explanation that when you're young you remember, that's true. Mipnei she'teuda, but in addition, the main point here is that, you know, it's a classic, even, I'll give you an example. 2 weeks ago, in one of the midrashot where I teach, I give a class to Shana Aleph, the first year girls, and Shana Bet. You think, what's not such a big difference between an 18-year-old and a 19-year-old? And one of the young women told me a couple of weeks ago, she said, I'm so happy I stayed for the second year. It's a world of a difference. She says, there's the 18-year-old as opposed to 19-year-old. Right? I'm so much smarter. I'm so much more miyushevet. So the first year, it's a lot of wow. It's fireworks. It's inspiration. It's, you know, frumkeit. And the second year, it's deeper. It's more digested. It's more mature. Right? And somebody who's 30 or 40 laughs at, you know, what's the difference between an 18 and 19-year-old. That's not exactly what Rav Kook is talking about. But Kal v'chomer, if a 19-year-old sees the difference between where what she learned when she was 18 and 19, how much more so? Mineh she'tudat hayeldut hi lachnis yediot chadashot bekerev ha'adam. The idea, the mission of youth is to learn new ideas. V'zikna nu'ada kvar lahashlim et hashkafato. When you're older, an adult, the idea is to perfect, to complete your hashkafa, your outlook. Hashlema, kolelet, al pi harichus shel otan yediot shekanalo bimei hayeldut. Take all those information, all those ideas, all those experiences, all those books and chapters and dapim, put together and organize your outlook.
Tell her she should use Zofa to learn it with her daughters.
En koach hazikaron nu'ad mitzad ha'teva metukan limei hazikna. The idea of memory isn't just to remember it for when you're older. The same idea when you remember it here and when you review it here are two both important things which harmonize together. Ki im koach ha'bina ha'mechkar ve'amishpat. In addition to that, when you're older, take all of those ideas put together, analyze them, go into depth, compare, select. Rav Kook gives a beautiful explanation of this pasuk in Iyov 12:12, which says that b'yeshishim chokhma, old people have wisdom, ve'orech yamim tivuna, many long days gives you analysis. Rav Kook is medayek orech yamim. They're different days. When you're younger and when you're older, both of them are part of that wisdom that you should have when you're older and build upon it and add it. And don't forget that which you learned when you were younger.